Charlie needs only one more pitch.
If it can be the right one. 1-2, the count on Bauer. 2 down in the ninth inning. Wilhelm kicking around a little bit out on the mound. Now checking his side. Bauer guarding the plate. Here it comes. He swings and there's a high pop up into right field. It may be. Gardner going back. Casby in. Gardner's got it. A no-hitter for Wilhelm. He's got a no-hitter. Wilhelm pitches the first no-hitter in modern Oriole history, and he's mobbed by his teammates. As he comes to the dugout, it's a brilliant no-hit victory for Hoyt Wilhelm. Bauer, the last man, hit a fly ball into short right field, picked off by Billy Gardner. And Hoyt Wilhelm has made Baltimore history here today at Memorial Stadium with a brilliant no-hit shutout over the American League champion, New York Yankees. This is the second no-hitter of the American League season. Jim Bunning pitched one at Boston, you remember. And this is the first one to be pitched by an Oriole since the Birds came back into the big leagues in 1954. Joe Coleman got very near in the first year in 54, but Enos Slaughter got a base hit in the ninth inning against Joe to spoil that effort. And now Wilhelm has done it, capped the climax in this ball game as he finally got Bauer out on a pop fly to Gardner to end it all. And are we ready yet, Stan? And we're still waiting to see whether we can get that mic down to our teammate Herb Carneal, who has gone down in an effort to interview the winning pitcher today, Hoyt Wilhelm. While Hoyt walked two, he gave up a walk to Richardson with one out in the third. Richardson was out trying to steal. And then Luffy walked in the fourth inning and went to second on a pass ball. He was left at second base, and they are the only two men who've been on base. And now we switch you down to Herb Carneal.
Well, thank you very much, Ernie, and hello, everybody. We want to chat first with the man who worked the game behind the plate, umpire Joe Paparella. Joe, this was a great thrill for us. I suppose you've seen quite a few no-hitters, though, in your time.
Well, I have been in a few, but I've never worked one back at the plate. I had a few in the minors, and I was on a couple with Bob Feller, when Feller was in his days, of course, and I saw Bob Lemon pitch his no-hitter, but this one here, I think, gave me the greatest thrill I've ever had.
Well, he was throwing a lot of knuckleballs, I imagine, today.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about today's game, about the sixth inning, Mickey Mantle come up to hit, and he said to me, he says, Paparella, from here on, we're all right. He says, Yogi Berra just discovered to call pitches on Wilhelm, he said, and he's going to get whistled when he throws the knuckler. So it struck me very funny because he actually did throw 95% were knuckleballs and getting them over the plate. It really, the ball was really dancing.
Well, he really had a lot of stuff. He ended up with 8 strikeouts, and actually there wasn't hardly a tough play all afternoon.
No, there wasn't.
Gardner made a good one, I think, in the eighth inning. Would you say that this was more of a routine no-hitter than any of you've ever worked, Joe?
No, I think that as far as you just mentioned, there was only actually one play, and that was at second base. And I thought maybe Slaughter's ball would drop in there, and but it hung up in the air, and, of course, right fielder was able to get to it. I wouldn't say it was a routine no-hitter because the boy, I believe, surmised that he had it, and he was you could actually see him bearing down with every pitch real extra.
Uh-huh. Well, he had good control, as he usually does with that knuckleball. The only Yankees to get on base got on there on walks, and actually the strikeouts, I believe most all of them were swinging, weren't they, Joe?
Yes, most were swinging strikeouts. I don't believe, I can't recall at the moment where I called a man out on a third strike. I believe there was one. I believe it was Bauer struck out about the sixth inning. He took a third called strike for a knuckler.
Uh-huh. Well, Joe, we appreciate your being on with us. Our producer, Jim Saunders, is back in the Oriole dressing room, which is a slight madhouse right now. He's bringing out Hoyt Wilhelm. Here comes Hoyt. And we want to talk to him for just a second here as he walks along the walkway here on the rain. Hard, we won't keep you very long, boy, but congratulations. We thought you had it all the way. How did you feel about it?
Well, I don't know about something like that. After Gus hit that home run, I started thinking about it.
You did, huh? Is this your first one in organized
yeah,
ball?
Yeah, first no-hitter in organized ball.
I was just telling Joe Paparella here that there really wasn't a tough chance all day. Gardner made a real good play there in the eighth inning on a ground ball.
Yeah, on that one ground ball, yeah.
You were throwing mostly that knuckleball up there today, I guess.
Well, I was throwing most of the suckers and a few sinking fastballs.
Did you strike anybody out on anything except the knuckleball?
Maybe on a curve, but I don't think so. I think it was all knuckles.
Well, you gave us all a thrill, Hoyt. Congratulations, and we hope you'll have a few more of them before you hang
Hoyt,
up the
may
glove.
May I say that that was my first one, too, so we're both in a major league. Thank you very much.
And here's a fellow who ended it all, actually, with a home run in the seventh inning, Big Gus Triantos. Congratulations, Gus. You're now sharing that home run record with Yogi Berra, and of course, this was probably as big a one as you've hit all season.
That's right, Herb. I'm happy like everyone else is.
Well, listen, what did you hit there? You really whaled the dickens out of that.
Yeah, it was a fastball, Herb, and one of those things, you just got a hold of it, and that was it.
You really gave it a good ride. Hoyt's knuckler was really doing tricks today.
Well, I was doing a pretty good dance back there, wasn't I? Yeah, a terrific one.
Well, you were doing a terrific job. Nice going again, Gus.
Thanks, Herb.
Here's the skipper, Paul Richards. Well, hi. How are you, Paul? We all had a big thrill today. And
well, I'll have to admit that I couldn't stand it. I was in the clubhouse listening to you broadcast that last one, and I think I'd have blamed you if it had gotten a hit, Herb.
We'd all blamed ourselves. But actually, as I've told Joe Paparella and Wilhelm, there weren't many difficult plays. Gardner made a good one there, but it was mostly routine.
Don't forget, Tasby made a pretty good play in the first inning, I believe, on Mantle's line drive to right field. Yeah. I don't mean it was Ringling Brothers, but it was a pretty good play.
Boy, this Wilhelm, after the tough luck that he's had all season long, he certainly earned this one, didn't he?
Today, you know, he still hasn't had over two runs scored for him, Herb, all year. That's quite a record for a guy. I mean, it's a record you don't envy. And the fact that he's lost nine games, and in those nine games, no more than two runs were scored by the team that he pitched for, because he was with Cleveland a while.
Uh-huh.
And today, though, was one of those days when I believe he probably could have pitched two no-hitters. I wish we'd had a doubleheader. I'd have started him in the second game.
Well, he probably would have made it, too. Paul, we still have that fighting chance to get up there and get some of that first division money, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. And I believe, Herb, we've got a little better than a fighting chance if we get that kind of pitching the rest of the way.
That's pretty hard to beat. Thank you, Paul. Paul Richards, ladies and gentlemen. And now that just about wraps it up from down here. Jim, you want me to sign it off or toss it back to Ernie? We'll go back up in the broadcast booth now to Ernie Harwell.
Panicky has just popped up for out number two. And DeSense trying to win it or tie it here in the bottom of the ninth inning. The 1-1 by Chodick. Here's a fly ball to deep left.
Get out of here! Go on! Hold on! Hold on! Dr. DeSense with a two-run homer. The Orioles have won the ball game. In 1979 style, do you believe it?
They're going crazy. This ball club does
whatever they have to. Every Oriole is at the plate. Every Oriole is at the plate. DeCinque, a two-run homer. The Orioles win the ball game. 6-5. Chuck will be right back.
Oh, I'm with you.
Oh, it was 1979, and I was coming off my best year in 1978 for the Orioles. At the start of the season, I got off to a real good start, and then I hurt my back, and I was out for almost 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks, not playing, not anything, having a lot of trouble. And then that was the first week that I had come back to play, and the team was doing pretty good. And we were in a situation, we were playing against Detroit, and we were down a couple runs with two outs in the last inning. But unlike a lot of the fans around the country, especially such out in California, whatever, the Oriole fans kind of stayed. They were sensing something. And it was a big crowd that night. And I remember when I stepped up, I got an ovation because, I was coming back from an injury and whatever. And then it was two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and I hit a home run that won the game, and I remember coming around and the whole team coming out on the field, and there was just this, it was a difference. It was kind of a feeling like maybe this is just what we needed, and the team was extremely excited, and everybody's really happy, and then the fans just picked up on it. And the fans just stayed there, and they were cheering and cheering, and it was like nothing we had ever experienced before, and the fans stayed in the ballpark that night. They must have been there for, I would say, maybe 10 minutes after the end of the game, and nobody left. It was one of those things that the cheering was kind of caught on, and I think that's what started a lot of the magic, the miracle on 33rd, that, you know, that Wild Bill started doing his things up in the stands, and sure enough, the team sensed a lot of that. We came out the next day and we were behind again, and we came back and beat Detroit again in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear something. DeSensei hit a home run 2 minutes ago. Listen to this ballpark. Just listen to it. They're on their feet. They're roaring with one of the most dramatic slam-bang finishes in the Oriole history. DeSensei hits the two-run home run, followed by the solo shot by Singleton, and the crowd now says, listen to this chant. We want Doug. We want Doug.
Whatever they have to do, they do to win. And they're hollering for DeSensei's yet. The fans haven't left the ballpark. It's complete bedlam in the stands.
I don't know if DeSensei and the Orioles can hear us in the clubhouse or not. If they can, I hope that he'll come back. These people are here hollering for DeSensei. He did come out of the dugout one time, and he may be coming back.
Comes.
Here he comes, and Doug DeSensei will get a standing ovation. Great moment in Baltimore baseball history. And now this is Chuck Thompson for Bill O'Donnell and Charlie Ekman saying, ain't the beer cold, baby? While Bill Hagee has come to the outfield end of the Oriole dugout from the upper deck in right field. Hagee is on top of the Oriole dugout right now. And the entire ballpark, not just the people up in right field, but everybody is up, everybody is cheering, and Bill Roth, it's yours to pick it up. A lot of fun for the first 1 hour and 56 minutes of the doubleheader tonight. Won by the Orioles 6-1, and here they go again. Fly ball, well hit, deep to left field, gone! Home run, Eddie Murray! It is absolutely stunning, breathtaking, amazing, overwhelming. But the Orioles have done it again. A three-run home run with hit by Eddie Murray in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they win it 8-6. The scoreboard flashes, Eddie, Eddie. The crowd is chanting, Eddie, Eddie. They want him back. They won't quit until they get him back.
There's a swing and a base hit up the middle. And so the Orioles still breathing just barely, but now with a chance to give it their best shot. Eddie Murray coming up. There's a swing, line drive, base hit into center field. Fielded on one hop by Rudy Law. Ripken goes to second and holds as Law throws into the shortstop Fletcher. Two on and two out. And here is Lowenstein. Line drive, base hit, center field. Ripken rounds third. He'll come on to score. Murray around second, and he is into third. It is 4-3. And here comes Ken Singleton. There's a line drive, base hit, left field. Murray scores the tying run. Lowenstein stops at second. It's 4-4. Again, a pitch that appeared to be low and out of the strike zone goes for a base hit as Singleton hits it beyond the reach of shortstop Scott Fletcher and through the hole to tie the score. And the Orioles have gotten four hits after two are out and after 1 a.m. Now, with Lowenstein at second representing the winning run, John Shelby, the speedster, goes in to replace him. And here comes La Russa with the right-hand batting Dower coming up. La Russa, with Tidrow ready, may make a change. And there's the call. Tidrow at the belt. Delivers. Swing, line drive down the right field line. If it's fair, it's over. Fair ball! Shelby scores! The Orioles have come all the way back, and they have won it! Listen to this! Well, the Toronto Blue Jays have been red hot in extra inning games. They are 9-0 this year. They are 9-0. And going back to last season, they have won 12 in a row in extra inning games. In fact, the last club to defeat them was the Baltimore Orioles in an extra inning contest. That was last August. And they've taken the lead here in the 10th inning. Tippy Martinez on for Tim Stoddard. Ballpark is now very quiet. Collins steps in against Tippy. And he's going to bat left-handed. Throw to first. They got the runner hung up between first and second. Murray chases him down and now puts on the tag. Well, that's the ideal way to do it.
Who said Len Sicata couldn't throw out a base dealer?
Right on. That goes 1-3, and if you can avoid making the throw in that situation, that's what you want to do. And they had Bonnell all the way, and Murray chased him down.
You don't think Bonnell was too anxious to try and test Sicata's arm, do you?
Well, I'm wondering about Collins getting up to the plate batting left-handed. Now he switches around to the right side.
Batting left-handed, Sicata really can't get a look at that runner breaking from first base.
Here's the 1-0, and it comes in high. Two balls and no strikes.
Now, this is a guy you don't want to see in the bases if you're Len Sicata.
This guy can fly. Tippy with a fastball, and it's fouled off to the right side. Lowenstein has played 70 games in the big leagues at second base, but not since 1975. Sicata has never caught before. Ranicki has never played third. 2-1 pitch is all the way to Collins. Comes in high. Three balls and one strike.
Renicki has worked out at third base quite a bit during the season, taking a lot of ground balls over there. Been some talk that maybe next year at some future time he might be a third baseman.
Here's the 3-1, and it's outside, a fastball. So runners, a runner at first. Collins with the free ticket. There is one out. And here comes Upshaw. Upshaw's 1-for-4. Single and stole a base his last at bat. Collins at first base with one out. And the throw to first, just an easy toss by Tippy to Eddie Murray. And Collins is back. Collins has 15 stolen bases. He's been caught stealing only three times. Another throw to first, and Tippy with not a lot on that throw. He possibly could be trying to set Collins up. Just tough to pick off this guy. One out, a runner at first. Another throw to first. They got him. They got him! Again, the play goes 1-3. And momentarily, it looked like they were going to get Collins hung up. The throw came over from Tippy, and Collins came right into the tag.
These guys are, they're all drooling to get a jump against Martinez to steal.
Pitch is fouled off.
Connor's got a smug smile on his face saying, I got both of those guys.
He sure does. What a job Sagata's done. Well, that time, Collins getting the lead. Here's two outs. Here's the pitch, and it's a call strike. Two strikes. Looked like they were going to have Collins like he'd go the other way towards second because he knew he was going to get hung up, but he got back to first. Was way late. The tag was in plenty of time. I was getting ready to say they got him hung up, but they just plain got him. Two strike delivery, a high chopper over the mound. Lowenstein back, makes the pickup. He'll have no throw. Well, Lowenstein showing some good range there, and the fans love it. Upshaw reaches with a base hit.
When Lowenstein played some third base at Texas in 78, when Billy Hunter was the manager there, Ryder once went up to Lowenstein, figuring, well, he's an outfielder, plays all around the outfield. He said, John, what's your third base right now, but what's your best position, do you think? And Lowenstein said, shortstop. And he said it with a straight face and said, I played shortstop in college and high school. I like the infield.
Well, now they're going to try again. The throw to first, and Upshaw's back. Well, Ornstein had to go to his right that time and make a leaping stab at that one, but he had no play. Another throw to first. Well, Sakata's got a pretty good arm, and the Orioles have worked Leonard out behind the plate throughout the season. Another throw to first, and they got him! Holy cow! Oh, my goodness! Oh! They pick on three! I can't believe it! They did it again! But the Blue Jays come up with a run. Martinez to Murray once. Martinez to Murray twice. Martinez to Murray three times.
I loved that night when Maris hit 59, his 59th off of Pappas, and he, you know, here he's going the rest of the game for to tie the Babe's record in the Babe's hometown, and he hit a flat out against the fence once later, and he hit some real shots that were foul that had a chance, and the atmosphere was just electric that night.
As a matter of fact, Dick Hall was talking about the fact that
Dick pitched. Yeah, he struck him out once, as I recall, and Maris hit a ball that looked like it had a chance, and somebody caught it. You know, and I think it was a Robinson, but it was Earl Robinson, not Frank.
It was. First year pitched for the Orioles, 61, when Maris was going for the home run record, and I got involved in that 154th game. They put the rule in that if he doesn't hit the 60 home runs in 154 games, we put a big asterisk by the record, which they did. But in fact, another fellow that's here today, Milt Pappas, started the game, and Maris had 58 coming in, and he hit one off Pappas, so tension was really building. It was kind of a day, something like today, that east wind and kind of half rainy and cold, and I pitched against them twice in that game, and really excited. It was really a different atmosphere because everything revolved around the home runs, and the game was kind of secondary. The Yankees got way ahead early, and it was just everybody just waited for Maris's next turn at bat. And there'd been a lot of debate. Some of the pitchers said that if he got down close, that they'd walk him before they pitched to him. But I said it was only fair to pitch to him, and I didn't have a single ball. He batted against me twice, and I gave him a chance to. Every pitch was either a called strike or he swung at it. It was close enough. So no ball. So I gave him a chance, but luckily I emerged unscathed.
This is Ernie Harwell. It's a pitcher's battle at the start, and the game is scoreless until the Baltimore third. Orioles catcher Clint Courtney connects with a Virgil Truck pitch. And the ball sails into the right field stand. So Clint Courtney gains the distinction of hitting the first Major League home run in Memorial Stadium. Baltimore leads the White Sox 1-0. Truck fires again in the Baltimore fourth, and Vern Stevens taps one. The ball lands in the left field pavilion for another home run. Baltimore fans go wild with glee. Here, as recorded on opening day, are the reaction of one of Baltimore's foremost fans.
Here at Memorial Stadium today, on this big occasion when we're opening the 1954 season with the Birds in the American League for the first time in 52 years, we want to bring you a real special kind of interview to us, because we have with us now the man who, with Mr. Clarence Miles and our Mayor Tommy D'Alessandro, was so instrumental in getting these Orioles for us. And I know that, as it is to Mr. Miles and to our Mayor Tommy D'Alessandro, Jerry Hofberger, it must be a great sense of satisfaction for you today to see this mammoth crowd and this fine ball game.
Bailey, this is one of the best days I've ever had. Seeing all you fellas and these 50,000 people out here today to watch this ball game is really great. I want to really take 1 minute to pay a special tribute to Tommy D'Alessandro, who's down in the hospital and who can't be with us today. We all wish you well, Tommy, and hope you're back with us soon.
Baltimore's Bob Shirley hurls brilliant ball the rest of the way. He makes the dangerous Minnie Moroso one of his 9 strikeout victims as the Orioles gain a thrilling 3-1 victory in the first Major League game in Baltimore in 51 years.
for their team. Put that guy in the dugout. Show them. What a demonstration. Look at this. What a scene. Hey, you guys down there? When do we come back? It's unbelievable. But this is more important. This is one of the most remarkable scenes in my lifetime in sport. You are bearing witness to one of the most remarkable scenes maybe that you will ever see in sport. Yes, the fans have stayed. They have stayed to cheer and to honor the retiring manager of the Birds of Baltimore, a man who in 15 years has become an absolute legend. The defeat will hurt. There's Harvey Keene over to congratulate him, and Earl Weaver is crying, and you can understand it. Very rarely has there been a scene like this, if ever. These people of this city, a city that has become a beautiful city under a brilliant mayor with an inner harbor equivalent of Boston. And that's Edward Bennett Williams, the owner, the great criminal attorney. And there they are standing and chanting, all of them in unison. And the sign says it all. Goodbye, Earl. And you deserve it. You've been one of the greatest managers in the history of the game. Let the picture speak now.
McNally pitches again, and Johnson flies to center. Blair is there. He takes it. And the Orioles are the new world champions.
Well, that was off the Dodgers, where we were playing the Dodgers. We were leading 1-0. Two-ounce man on first and second, and Lou Johnson hit a fly ball to center field, and it looked like it took the whole season for that ball to come down. But I was waiting for it, and I wanted to hurry up and catch it because that was going to be the final out, and we were going to be the world's champions. And
that's, did you squeeze the ball?
Oh, no question. I squeezed it as hard as I possibly could. As soon as I caught it, I jumped up in the air because we were the world's champion, and I grew up in Los Angeles, so it meant an extra lot to me.
The leaping Blair is joined by Frank Robinson and Russ Knight. Meanwhile, the celebration in the infield is just as wild. A mad, swirling mass of delirious Orioles. It's the first sweep for the American League since 1950.
Well, he needs only one more pitch, if it can be the right one. 1-2, the count on Bauer. Two down in the ninth inning. Wilhelm kicking around a little bit, out on the mound. Now checking his side. Bauer guarding the plate. Here it comes. He swings, and there's a high pop up into right field. It may be. Gardner going back. Tasby in. Gardner's got it. A no-hitter for Wilhelm. He's got a no-hitter. Wilhelm pitches the first no-hitter in modern Oriole history, and he's mobbed by his teammates. As he comes to the dugout, it's a brilliant no-hit victory for Hoyt Wilhelm. Bauer, the last man, hit a fly ball into short right field, picked off by Billy Gardner. And